Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where...
Little White Ball's life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host in the other box, T-Bone. T-Bone, how you doing, my good friend?
Not too bad. I think you had a good delivery for what feels like it's going to be a pretty somber episode. So you brought me up a little bit. I needed it because, you know, we'll get there.
This is our Ryder Cup recap, and there's so much to get to that we're going to try to hit it all. There's so much to talk about. Bottom line is Europeans kick some ass. They just kick some ass. They did what they had to do from the beginning. A lot of people sit up to watch some golf, especially when they teed off at 12:30 in the morning, and it did not go well, especially those morning sessions on Friday and Saturday. Holy crap, it was not good. But again, we're going to dive into it, bring you everything from Joe LaCava to Rory McIlroy to Team Euro, Scheffler and Brooks losing 9-7. Like, there's just so much to talk about. Hatgate, I mean, what a scene that was, right? So, before we dive into it, shout out to our sponsors, Drinkabuddy, drinkabuddy.com. Look, we needed some Drinkabuddy because we were drinking our sorrows away after a tough week in Rome. But go to drinkabuddy.com, promo code 3under. It's not the hangover cure, but it's going to help curb that edge the next morning. Maybe you've had one too many. It's going to help you bounce back better because we don't miss tea times here at the Underpar. Plain and simple, we don't miss tea times. So, drinkabuddy.com, link in the description below. Chip Golf Co. CHIPP Golf Co. They got some fire gloves. Again, here you go. Gloves. They might as well gamble. They needed some lucky. So they needed a royal flush on Sunday, and they did not get that royal flush. But again, great quality gloves. Randall Pulfer and team there at Chip Golf Co. Randall, guest on the pod. Great top. Great conversation. Link in the description below. Promo code 3underpar. That's chipgolfco.com. 10% off your order. All right, T-Bone, let's dive into it, man. Where do you want to start? Because there's just...
I think we start with golf gossip. Hatgate, Joe LaCava, Rory, parking lot incident. I think that's where we got to start.
All right, let's start us off. So, I'm saying this to myself mostly to stay on topic because there are so many different rabbit holes that you can go out.
I don't know how we're going to stay on topic, but
we're going to be all over the place. I'm going to do the best I can to put the description or the titles in the chapters in the description below, so I'll do the best I can there. But really, this started off, T-Bone, to my understanding of the pay for play controversy of the Ryder Cup, and there were rumors going around that Xander and Cantlay, who did really well 2 years ago at down in Wisconsin, Whistling Straits, they were probably going to be paired up again this time, and they wanted to be paid for it, and that's why they said Cantlay wasn't wearing a hat. So that's kind of my understanding. T-Bone, I'll turn it over to you.
I think that's my understanding too, and it became a headline that was then fueled by the European crowds, and I thought it was blown out of proportion and not true, but now that things are coming together, it seems like maybe the hat thing wasn't necessarily true, but the wanting to be paid for the Ryder to play in the Ryder Cup was probably true from Cantlay and Xander, and potentially they showed up later to the Ryder Cup because of it. So I think that's all still speculative, but I think it is kind of more true than what I initially thought. So,
I agree with that.
Yeah, so it was, again, we're going to get the rat hole going here very quickly, but it's definitely a bummer of a headline or story to come out from the U.S. team, and it almost feels very fitting for the U.S. team and Cantlay. You just look at the European team and how many guys would be in that scenario where they're maybe not wearing hats because of a logo they're not being paid for, but ultimately they're getting pissy about not getting paid. Would never happen, ever. This is like the greatest accomplishment of a lot of their careers, and they're seeing it as an opportunity of a lifetime, and we got some guys that probably don't feel the same.
I mean, my initial gut reaction here, T-Bone, was I thought this was put to bed already. Like, we had been through this already, especially most notoriously. Was it like 2002 or 2004? David Duvall, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson were complaining about being paid, and they just got their ass kicked for like three straight cups until famously in 2008, Paul Lazinger, led by Anthony Kim on that Sunday, turned it around over that year. And again, I just thought this was put to bed already. And I've seen the arguments for both sides. And because my initial gut reaction was shut the F up and go play golf. Mm-hmm. Especially when this report comes out after you're down 4-0 in the first morning session on Friday after alternate shot. It's like, oh man, here we go again. Like, this is ridiculous. No wonder we're getting killed already. Literally, when I saw it was 4-0, I was like, we're done. We're done. Yep. No, you can't come back from that. Well, you have to, unless you go 3-1. And then in the afternoon on Friday, we were up three flags with like six holes combined to play. And then Victor Hovland just pulls eagle out of his ass. Same with John Rahm. The ball like said a little hello before it went in the hole.
Before we get to Friday, because I have some thoughts there, but
okay,
I will give Patrick Cantlay some credit. That was some serious golf under some brutal conditions on Saturday. And what was maybe the only spark of the whole weekend, I think he provided.
I agree.
That was impressive. I will give him a lot of credit.
I think I don't want to go too far down the pay for play at the Ryder Cup. We can talk about that. I think we're going to have a long off season because I'm not necessarily looking forward to talking about Sanderson Farms next week. Let's be honest.
Could be an off week for the boys.
Yeah, it could be an off week. Maybe we'll try to book a guest so we can. Anyway. But point is, we can talk a lot about more of that later. But yeah, to your point, that specific day, you know, it was funny because golf's Twitter in particular and golf social media ran with the story. They absolutely ran with it to the point where the European fans were waving their hats at him every single time. So I think that really sets the stage for Joe LaCava. Once the fans start chirping him, Cantlay birdie 17, he makes birdie on 18, and even the U.S. team was getting into it. It turned into a gag. That kind of went too far, I think.
Yeah, when I saw the video, I think LaCava was probably in the wrong. I think he was there a little too long, standing a little too close, and he's a caddy. Shouldn't have really been part of the the story there. But at the same time, when you're hearing that for 5 hours, your player's getting chirped and the entire crowd, they're making songs out of it. I mean, it's tough. They're getting their ass kicked. It's tough. It's the heat of the moment.
They're making songs out of it.
And then I was just more concerned that it was just going to be more fuel for Rory, which it ended up being. And, you know, it was just so many storylines into one that I felt like we had to kick off the episode with a golf gossip segment around the Ryder Cup. But it was just so crazy. It's pay to play, then it was Hat, then it was LaCava, then it was Rory as the fans and a parking lot incident, and it just was wild. And I thought it was hopefully going to spark a charge from the U.S., but I think it was just a little too late.
Yep, I agree. Too little, too late. I mean, how heated was Rory on Saturday after the round? I mean, this is like an hour and a half later. Let's be real. They're playing golf. They're not playing basketball or football or anything where you are like the adrenaline's going the whole time. Now, granted, it's the Ryder Cup, but like golf's a different kind of hyped up. And usually you control your emotions and it's off. Like once you're done, you're done. Especially since how many times has LaCava played with Rory since he caddied for Tiger all those years? Yeah. Like LaCava's been around for a while. So has Rory. They probably walked and played a lot of rounds of golf together. And yeah, that is to see that happen like an hour and a half later or whatever it was. And Rory was still that heated. Whoo. I did not see that coming. That was great. That was good TV at least.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So,
It was pretty wild, but, all right, what's next?
I mean, that's,
I think another storyline is,
yeah.
And I think I have a pretty interesting take on this, but I think Zach Johnson's getting buried, maybe rightfully so, but I think it's a little harsh. I think people are being a little harsh on Zach Johnson. And the reason I say that is because just was never close. And it wasn't a decision here or a decision there that made me think he was a bad captain. They just played so fucking bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah.
The first day, which, you know, I think some of the heat is the team should have been more prepared. No one played for what, 5 weeks or so, and some of the European guys played in the tournament. So I don't know if that's on him. I mean, his captain's picks were, I guess, pretty mediocre. I guess you could argue not that great. But I think we all felt pretty strong about his captain's picks. Maybe Sam Burns was a little random, but
he
I
got
think
a
the
point.
guy's just, I think he's getting destroyed as a captain. And I mean, Scottie Scheffler didn't win a point.
Scottie Scheffler went 0-2-2. Correct. Jordan
I
Spieth
mean,
went 0-2-2. Ricky Fowler went 0-2.
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. What are you thinking about? I mean, I think he's kind of being the scapegoat for this. And there's a lot of guys that just maybe if other than Max Homa, all of them like underperformed.
Correct. Max Homa was the only person who had a winning record at the Ryder Cup on the American side. He went 3-1-1.
Just to get ahead of the story, I do have a Stanley Cup. Someone in the U.S. has got to be holding a cup this week. So,
yeah, Eric, cheers.
We got
I got
plenty. We still have sponsors
Yeti.
Left. Plenty of room left. Stanley, Yeti. So, cheers,
yeah.
You guys.
Wait, we're open to a beverage company. We don't. I mean, we have Hangover Carriers again. DrinkAbuddy.com promo code 300. We have gloves. Chipkoff Co. Links in the description below. We have turf. I mean, we're in the agriculture space. And then we also are in fashion with Paisley House. So we are ready and available for some drinkware. Cut the check, Stanley and Yeti. Anyway, back to Ryder Cup. Yes. Okay. I see what you're saying. And I actually do agree with you. Now, there is this golf account on Twitter called it's at Richie3Jack. His also known as Hunt Golf Analytics. So he's a golf analytics guy running all the simulations, regressions, blah, blah, blah. Not going to bore you with it. But he pretty much said, at least on Friday, I haven't checked it really in the last few days, but out of Friday, he said, out of all the possible teams Zach Johnson could have picked for the foursome format, my modeling has his picks in the bottom one third of possible teams he could have chosen. One third. And we're not in, they have so much analytics at their fingertips. I mean, how much do we talk about strokes gained off the tee or doing all this, that, and the other? You can literally break it down so minutely. And it's also not just him. He has like three or four assistant captains as well who are supposed to present and comb through this information as well. But ultimately, it does come down to Zach Johnson. And when you see all the analytics and whatnot, it does not help his case as why they played so bad. But to your point, T-Bone, it doesn't matter who you put together. The Americans just play like dog shit. I think it's really that simple. You can't tell me that Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler, who's the best player in the world, lose 9-7. 9-7. Are you kidding me? I lost 9-8 one time in junior golf and got destroyed. These are professional golfers, the best players in the world. And you lose 9-7? Unbelievable. That is. And Scottie Scheffler was crying. And I understand why, and I'm sympathetic to that. But, dude, he should have been crying. He got his ass handed to him. Unbelievable. Unacceptable. And I said last week that I was worried. I said, frankly, I don't think the U.S. is playing good golf. And I was right. I hate being right on that. Nobody played well. Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth didn't show up. At least JT got a single point. He was the one that everybody had their focus on, right? And, look, it didn't help that Justin Thomas got paired with Jordan Spieth in alternate shot, because alternate shot, Spieth was nowhere to be found. And even in foursomes or in four ball, he was nowhere to be found either. JT at least like kept him in it, but then Justin Rose, out of all people, beat them both single-handedly. Let's be honest. Like Robert McIntyre, all due respect, he got points on the board as a team. He didn't really win those matches. That was Justin Rose and that experience. Look, sorry, I'm going here. But to your point, the U.S. just played bad. Plain and simple. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Once the ball is teed up, you got to go out and play golf, and they did not show up.
The beginning of your tangent there, the Scotty Brooks match. Correct me if I'm wrong. This was the first match on Saturday, right?
Correct.
So I had a sick dog Friday night.
Oh,
I woke up at 4 a.m. Dog shitting everywhere. And I'm kind of awake at this point. I look at my phone. Victor Hovland and Ludvig Åberg, 9-7 to the 5-time major champion and number one player in the world. I was like,
yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievable. And we were talking about this guy might do something, this Ludvig guy, and unfortunately did, but I mean, that, like you said, it's just unacceptable. Those two guys playing together really should not have lost to anyone and just got destroyed. But I mean, as bad as that was, the team didn't play that bad the Saturday, Sunday. The tournament was lost on Friday.
Yeah.
In our group text, I was wondering, I was saying, can this thing get closed out on a Saturday? Because it might happen. And again, I will give a little bit of luck to, or I'd say bad luck to the U.S. team on Friday, like that putt that bounced up from Rahm and then the 35-footer from Hovland. That sucks, but...
But that's what they do. I said that's what the Europeans do. They just make bombs. It's crazy.
It's wild.
Yes. I mean, so I'm curious here, and maybe a slight transition. I'm sorry. I'm not necessarily going to cut you off, but look, we can break down, overanalyze, and shit on the American players as I think they deserve outside of Max Homa. Now, we'll say Cantlay, with everything surrounding him, did have 2-2. He played 2-2. And so did Brian Harman. Really surprised by that. Really glad by that. I'm really happy for Brian Harman. Mm-hmm. Him and Homa got the single point on Saturday morning, and they got him first on the board on day two, which is crazy to say. But mad props to Team Europe. This is what we were talking about. Why does Team Europe just play better over there in particular? Even on the U.S. side, they generally make it competitive. I know 2 years ago wasn't, but they generally make it competitive. And Rory McIlroy was the leader. He went 4-1 this week. Tyrrell Hatton, 3-0-1. Victor Hovland, who in my opinion proved himself to be the best player in the world, went 3-0-1. Tommy Ladd went 1-3. John Rahm went 2-0-2. Robert McIntyre, out of all the people, the 156th player in the world, went 2-0-1. And then Ludvig, 2-2. And then the only people with losing records were Fitzpatrick, Seb Straka, and Nikolai. But even still, everybody won at least one point except for Nikolai. Nikolai had one, went 0-2-1.
Fitzpatrick's losing record, his win was demoralizing. It was the first six birdies.
Wasn't even close.
Just like, okay, yeah, we're not winning that one.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. That was over really quick on day one. Yeah. So, Tebow, my question is, who deserves more credit? Did Europe win it or did the U.S. lose it? In my opinion, it's probably a combination of both, but I would love to hear your thoughts.
I'm going to say U.S. lost it on day one.
Really?
To not win a match on day one, you can just coast. And they kind of did. I mean, they still played good golf, the European team. But, that's never happened. It was the largest deficit in Ryder Cup history after the first day.
Yeah.
That just feels like the U.S. team kind of, I guess, lost it more than – that feels kind of bad discrediting them. But
I know,
I think it was fairly even the last 2 days.
Yeah, I could see that, especially because I think Saturday morning, I think they went 3-1, and then we flipped to 3-1 on Saturday, and then we won on singles, I think.
Yeah.
We're pretty close, maybe by a point or two. But yeah, that Friday, you can't recover from that, man. You just can't recover.
No.
When you're down, what was it, 6.5 to 1.5? It's disgusting.
Yeah. And it made the European team probably play a little more free.
Right.
When you're up by that much, it's not probably that nervy. Maybe once you get to singles a little bit, which it did a little bit, but I think the stars had to align for us, and they kind of knew that.
After Scheffler and Rahm halved that first match out, I was like, there goes your shot. If you had any chance, Scheffler had to get a full point on the board, and it wasn't going to happen. Ironically enough, it was Ricky Fowler who the last point was given up against, and he conceded the hole.
What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely atrocious. Lock him up. That's jail right there. I don't care if it's for the cup. Like, you can't do that. You make him hole out every single time. Those are my thoughts. Actually, the worst was Phil Mickelson in France 5 years ago. He gave up on the tee box. He didn't even finish the hole. That was a fire. That was a death row offense. But
yeah,
Ricky Fowler, look, I understand why he did it. He wasn't going to win the hole.
I didn't care. I didn't give a shit. I was like,
yeah,
let it be. The tee shot Tommy hit on that hole, I was like, that was insane. And they said it was inside of 3 feet, which also makes me feel a little bit better. And I was like, doesn't matter. This isn't why people should be mad. People should be mad about Friday. So I didn't care.
So to your point, going back to it, I think Europe won it more than the U.S. lost it, honestly, because they set the tone Friday morning. When you go 4-0 in alternate shot, I mean, alternate shot's hard enough. And when you're going out there and making birdies and big pars when you need to, and just letting your other team make mistakes, like, that shows me you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
And even on Friday afternoon in that four ball, as we said, like, that's what cost the Americans the cup, was not getting at least 2.5 points, to only getting that 1.5 because of John Rahm and Victor Hovland. Those guys made some big putts, and Justin Rose. They set themselves up to at least get it to 18 by either birding or eagle 16 and birding 17. So they got to 18 to keep themselves in the mix, and then they came up big with some massive putts. Yeah. So that tells me that they probably went out and won it more than the U.S. lost it, because it's almost like when you're on the road, like, it's like the NCAA tournament, when you're the higher seed and that 15 seed just keeps hanging around, they're going to make the big shot. Like, you just have that feeling. We've seen it time and time again in March Madness. For the European, or for Team USA, when you're in foreign soil, on the road, if you will, and you are up and you're not putting that team away, you keep giving them chances, they're going to make putts. It's just, it was so predictable. So that's why I think Team Europe won it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Another thing I was thinking about, there's, with these Ryder Cups, there's always so much focus, and there's so much focus on the captain. Yeah. Who's the captain? Whatever. There's so much blame. There's a lot of praise. They win. And I think it would be good for the U.S. team. I don't even know if this is allowed, but I was thinking if they did something where they got, like, a tenured captain. Like, almost like a U.S. basketball, like, Coach K at the Olympics. Like, he's the guy, and he's the U.S. Olympic coach, and everyone kind of knows that.
Yep.
I think you get these guys, they get one time. Zach Johnson's was in Europe. We were favored. He loses, gets destroyed, and now he's, like, exiled from this.
Yep.
And I think if we could almost, like, have an election, give these guys a little bit of tenure, I think that would be good for the U.S. team. And then, I don't know, give them a chance to learn a little bit, be better in the future. But I don't know. We just do these, like, one and done. If they win, great. If not, they're, like, the worst person ever. And
so it's almost like a make it, take it. Like, if you keep winning, you stay on as captain.
Yeah. Yeah, I like
interesting.
That.
Man, yeah, I'm trying to think. Have they announced the captains for 2025 yet? It does
no
not
way.
Look like it.
No. They don't
do probably it. Is not too far away. Interesting. Yeah, because there are rumors, because Luke Donald was probably slated to be the captain in 2025, but since Henrik Stenson joined LIV, he got the nod, and he did a good job of setting up his teams well together. Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Having like a Coach K, Greg Popovich, a team manager of USA Golf. That's interesting. I like that a lot, actually. It's probably not going to happen. Who? Did Jay Monahan? Oh my gosh.
No, that would, I don't think that would end well.
No, because it'll be the Saudi Cup after
a year. Or we could have Greg and Jay. That would be interesting.
Godly. Nope.
I had a good point. I'm ruining it.
Okay, go for it.
No, I was saying those clowns as captains. No, but I do like the tenured captain, if that's possible. Maybe that's not even a thing, but it's something we should consider if it's possible.
So, do you think Team USA Golf is broken? This literally just popped in my head. Like, because when Coach K took over Team USA Basketball, it was after they had lost to Argentina, I think, in the 2004 Olympics, because they pretty much got all these NBA guys together. They got like Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson, Jason Kidd, a few others. And we're like, hey, just go win us a gold.
Yeah.
They lost Argentina. And then Argentina won the gold medal. Hence the redeem team in 2008. That's when Coach K came in, tried to make it really structured to get everybody to buy into it. Now, there's an element of the pay-for-play thing that they have to work out. And then I don't think you necessarily need people to get really fired up to play for your country, at least in golf, but team golf is such a weird thing because it's such an individual sport, but with the team concept, it's very strange. But since the U.S. does play in the Ryder Cup as well as the President's Cup, that's not like just an every other year thing. You could have somebody doing both of these, I feel like. Maybe they could benefit from like a Team USA Golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would be nice if the Olympics was more team related, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that's pretty individual.
Right.
But the original question, is it broken? I think it could be. I think it's on the brink. I think after this performance, there's going to be a shit ton of pressure in Bethpage on the home soil if we lose that somehow. But
yeah, definitely. If we lose Bethpage, the heads are going to roll.
It'll be bad. I'm concerned because I already feel the pressure.
Really? Do you see Roy McIlroy's comments?
Yeah, he said it was going to be like close or kind of brutal, the fans. What is nice is, I mean, playing in New York, it's not going to be fun.
I can promise
you that.
Yep.
I don't think the New Yorkers will be like singing songs or chants. It'll be more of a, I don't know, fuck you.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
He says one of the biggest things in golf is to win a Ryder Cup away, and that's what we're going to do at Bethpage. Woo! Come on now. It is. He might be right. I don't know. Team USA does not give me much confidence right now, to be honest. And look, I know the crowds seem honestly pretty tame in Rome compared to years past. Obviously still very European heavy and favored. But the crowds didn't seem that crazy. Put them in New York after a loss trying to get back the cup. Oh, man. Because you remember how rowdy it got for the PGA a couple years ago when Brooksy won?
Yeah.
This is going to be a scene.
Yeah. It'll be brutal. We're going to honestly have to keep the crowd in check, I think. But shit, what was I going to say?
Is USA Golf broken? I would say.
Oh, my bogey of the week. My bogey of the week. We can do this quickly. Kind of Ryder Cup related. I would just say a fault, like a. my confidence in Team USA. Like, we made our predictions and didn't really think anything about it, and it was like, yeah, they're gonna win. Hasn't happened in 30 years, but they're gonna win. And it's so weird, like all the things we've talked about, these putts they make, the chip-ins they make, why our guys just forget how to play golf. Scottie Scheffler crying, not winning a point. Like, he's been the best golfer for years, and he just lost it. And yeah, it's the stuff always happens. And my bogey of the week is just have like overly confident for no reason in the U.S. team and not really crediting the European team. I don't know.
Right. So if you do have a bogey of the week, I would say the birdie would be Max Homa. Max Homa going 3-0-1. I was just reading saw a quick headline. Does Max Homa now get the shield as Captain America? All right, I think we need to pump the brakes here because it actually crossed my mind. You know who we did not even discuss who could have potentially been a member of this team was the original Captain America and Patrick Reed. Because we remember Patrick Reed was a heck of a Ryder Cup player. He might be the biggest douchebag on the planet, but he is a heck of a Ryder Cup player. Him and Rory, those matches were electric. They were so good. And he beat him. So we'll give him that. I don't think he should have been considered, but they were like, all right, it's Patrick Reed. Actually, it's Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth now because they're such good teammates until they had their falling out. And then it's like, all right, is it Scottie Scheffler since he kicked ass 2 years ago? Okay, wait, now it's Max Homa. I think we need to pump the brakes on who Captain America is, and let's just get the damn cup back.
Yep.
But that being said, my birdie of the week is Max Homa. He lost his first match and then went 3-1-1 after. Really, I would say the lone bright spot of Team USA this week. You could make an argument for Patrick Cantlay being a bright spot, especially since the way he battled back in that Sunday and that Saturday afternoon. But it's got to be Max Homa.
The bright spot and Patrick Cantlay just don't go together. That shouldn't be in the same sentence. But yeah. I will say birdie of the week. Golf was kind of off my radar. This got the juices flowing for me again. Got me excited personally for a little fall golf. Looks like it might be cooling off a little bit here in Houston finally. So
Hey, do you want to play Saturday?
Yeah.
All right.
Depending on when the Astros game is.
Oh, Astros play, I think. Hey, how about the Astros winning the AL West? Hey, suck it, Rangers fans.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Hey, we've got the Astros winning the AL West, Baylor football, largest comeback in school history. And Ryder Cup would have been the cherry on top, but
man,
all things considered, we'll take what we can get. We know it's a golf podcast, but we got to take our wins somewhere.
All right, how about this? Day spent in first place in the AL West, the Texas Rangers 159, Houston Astros 24.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yep, I know. That's all for my Dallas boys who listen. Shout out to y'all. Y'all know who you are. And all Rangers fans, sorry I'm not sorry. Have fun in Tampa while we're resting this week. But yes, and literally, I turned off the Baylor game. I turned it off because I was like, we're down 28 points halfway through the third quarter. Class ends, and I'm like, I'm not watching home. I got stuff to do, whatever. We're throwing this prize party. Let me go help set up for it. And then I like get a few texts and like, Baylor's not out of it yet. And I'm like, hold on, what? Flipping on with a minute and a half right before we kick the game winning field goal. Unbelievable. So
that was nice. That was nice.
Yes. Back to golf. One parting thought real quick, T-Bone. Got about 5 minutes. One reason I think why Zach Johnson was being criticized a lot was his communication with the media, saying like, oh, this is the closest locker room I've ever been a part of. I still believe in these guys. It's like, dude, your messaging sucks. Oh my gosh. I'd rather go watch Herb Brooks give his hype speech a miracle than listen to you talk.
What was also horrible, now that I'm remembering some things, was, you know, that just get the brakes blown off on day one. It's like, yeah, there's a, you know, we're coming down with something around our team.
No.
You can't.
Golly. You cannot do that. That's so bad.
So bad. And then kind of my final parting thought of the Ryder Cup. It was such a brutal watch for the U.S. team. And then did you have a chance to watch the ceremony?
No, I turned it off.
Trophy presentation.
Mm-mm.
They got the two teams lined up, if anyone saw this, facing kind of the stage. And the U.S. team walked over a single file line in front of the stage, walked in front of the team, European team, and shook all of their hands one by one.
What?
And it was the most demeaning, demoralizing end to a tournament.
Oh my god!
I sent it to one of my buddies, loyal listener Skinny D. His response was, I was asked if anyone was watching it, and he said they might as well have collars and leashes on them. It was just demoralizing, and I didn't know if that was normal, but it was just a truly fitting ending to just a terrible Ryder Cup.
Insult to injury.
Yeah,
at that point.
Yep.
Man, that's tough. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think there was one. Oh, hey, T-Bone, quick fashion segment. How about the fact that they both wore white on Saturday?
Yeah that I was mean, weird. It was like that, both red, white, and blue.
Yes, they were the same color scheme, too. Like, what are we doing here? I couldn't tell who was who. The only difference was like the navy stripe on the sleeve.
Yeah, that was weird. I did like some of the guys coming out of solidarity for Mr. Cantlay with the no hats. I thought that was kind of cool. But, yeah. Like, not everyone did it. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, JT not wearing a hat on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, Thomas have you ever played golf without a hat?
Yeah, it's kind of cool, but it's like too hot to do it here.
You know, one thing I noticed is going to sound really weird. Nobody wears sunglasses. Like, whenever I play golf, I'm always wearing sunglasses.
Hmm.
Is that weird that nobody wears sunglasses?
Ricky did.
Okay, he did?
Yeah.
I guess he didn't really play that much throughout the week, so it's fine.
Yeah, he was easy to miss.
Yes. Well, all in all, T-Bone, congratulations to the Team Europe. They deserve it. They kicked ass. Team USA did not show up. They left the door open too many times for even a potential comeback. Europe, with their putting, with their ball striking and everything, they deserve to win. So credit Luke Donald and the rest of the European team. Team USA needs to come back and put the pieces together a little bit before Bethpage comes in 2025, because that's going to be here before we know it.
Yep. I'm excited for the next one, I think. Kind of scared, nervous, excited, but
yeah.
Man, it does suck. We have to wait 2 years. President's Cup just never really does it, but we'll be ready for Bethpage.
We'll see who's on the team and Bethpage. I would expect Wills Altores to be on that team next year too. He's a young guy that could get the team fired up. So we'll see. I don't know. Because if you would have told me that this team would have been assembled this way this year, I wouldn't have believed it. So this is a different and unique situation, as is every other year. So stay tuned to find out for Bethpage 2025. T-Bone, we got less than a minute, so I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick. Shout out to our sponsors, Drinker Buddy, Chip Goff. Go check out Waterloo Turf and the Paisley House, and all the links in the description below for their respective websites and promo codes. T-Bone, final word to you.
I'm disappointed, but happy it's over. Looking forward to the next Ryder Cup, and then enjoy fall golf, everybody.
Enjoy fall golf. It sucks the USA lost, but the Ryder Cup is still a special event that we look forward to every 2 years. Well said. Everybody, we appreciate you tuning in. I'm Scotty T for T-Bone, and remember,
little white balls are.